Now entering Nerdist.com. Welcome to episode 200 of the podcast. Listen, I got to get this out of the way immediately because I wanted to just say that I have been thinking about this ever since I did a show with Rhea Butcher. I can't say enough good things about their show that's coming out. That's a CISO show, Cameron and Rhea's show. So check that out. I will give you updates on when that actually comes out. I recur on the show and I just love those gals and can't say enough good things about them. Their episodes of my podcast are two of my faves. And I was doing this different show with Rhea and she and I kind of got into a conversation about, you know, sort of gender-specific terms, and I just went off on the fact that I have said, hey, guys, from the pretty much very beginning of the podcast, and that I 100% just have no gender associated with that in my head at all and never have, even though it couldn't be a more gender-specific term. And so we really kind of hashed it out. In no way was she arguing with me, but we were both kind of like, yeah, when do you sort of, like, what do you change everything? Do you sort of take back a term? Do you adapt a term to make it work for you? I guess my feeling is at this point, if you don't know that I'm being gender neutral, we are all in a world of hurt. But it made me laugh that she said that she used to say, hey, girls. So shout out to Rhea and Cameron. So this episode, as you probably figured out from the description, is kind of a special one in a afternoon movie of the week type of way in the 1980s on a very special episode of the JV Club. I have asked you guys to send some voice memos in. Many of you did. And I got some lovely notes from people as well. And I'm going to do a little bit of reading, but mostly I'm just going to play your voice memos. And then at the end of the episode, April Richardson came over and we did a MASH game, which I'm very excited about for a number of reasons. And so that's that. I wanted to start out by reading a wonderful, it's a partial list. Amy, you sent me some wonderful, wonderful notes. And I just picked some of them because some of them, frankly, are so flattering to me that this episode already feels super self-indulgent in a way I wasn't planning. And so I'm trying to cut out some of the ones that make me blush. But I wanted to read at least some of these because they're so charming. Amy, thank you so much for sending this in. Some comments that you had about your experience with the JV Club. It makes you feel understood. It makes, you know what, I'm going to put it in her words. It makes me feel understood. It makes me laugh. It introduced me to the world of podcasts. It introduced me to Elizabeth Lame and her podcast for the days when the JV Club doesn't release. Shout out to Elizabeth. Next time you do a live podcast, Elizabeth and Vanessa Ragland together would be pure gold. Listen, I could not agree more. I know they've been doing the Totally Mommy thing and I adore those two gals. So I think that's enough of me using the word gals for the day. It inspired me to reread Anne of Green Gables, the entire series. You know that June Diane and Jessica St. Clair and I are very proud. There are some episodes that I will never get enough of. Alison Brie, Sarah Watkins, Padgett Brewster, Carla Gallo. Speaking of Carla Gallo, the JV Club taught me that I am not the only one who doesn't know what to do with pet ashes. Love that. Last summer, when my precious furry soulmate, my lab pit mix rescue pup, was diagnosed with aggressive abdominal cancer, I stayed up with her the night she died all night long. And that night, me and my pup listened to the episodes from When You Lost Luca so that we didn't feel so alone. This was very touching. Thank you so much, Amy, for that. The JV Club tee, my favorite t-shirt ever, so soft and cute. And I know you said you got a bleach stain on it. So, Amy, I'm going to send you a new t-shirt. I still have some t-shirts because I never advertise them ever, but I'm going to send you one. So send me your address so that I can replace and your size and all that so I can replace your t-shirt. It introduced me to the world of Design Sponge and Grace Bonney. This showed me how I could use creativity for design, which brings me so much joy and has been a huge asset to my teaching career. And Amy is a badass teacher. I just thought there were so many great references to favorite episodes there, and just kind words. Amy, thank you so much. Again, send me your address for your t-shirt. Guys, if any of you want a t-shirt, I do still have some, and you can just PayPal me. If you're in the contiguous United States, I think it's like $20, and I'll, you know, that includes shipping, and you can just PayPal me at, I think it's j.varney@sfsketchfest, j.varney@sfsketchfest. Okay. So I'm really glad I got a shameless plug for t-shirts in there. And, now I'm going to, let Courtney and Steven and Kendra share their thoughts.
Hey, Janet. Happy 200th episode. I am so excited to share a memory. During the Kathleen Rose Perkins episode, specifically the re-release, because the timing was perfect. During the episode, you guys had discussed how important friendships were, especially in your 30s, and how just having girlfriends is such a big deal. And I was going through a period of my life where I had some, but I was on the outs with my very best friend from high school, and it wasn't that day or even that month, but it definitely pushed me to reconnect with her, and I just couldn't be more grateful for that push and everything that the podcast does, even if it's sometimes late and a distraction and sometimes really important, like getting me to reconnect with my best friend. Love what you do, Janet. Thank you so much for it. Happy 200th.
So way back with your chat with Sarah Silverman, she was talking about how poorly we actually use the separation of church and state, and it just gave me a flashback to fourth grade when I stopped saying the Pledge of Allegiance because it said under God, and that felt alienating to me considering not everyone is Christian, and it just felt nice to have someone else really share my opinion on something like that. It's not something you hear a lot of.
Hey, Janet, my fellow janitors. My name is Steve. My favorite memory of the JV Club came with episode 40 with Vanessa Ragland. But it was before the interview started. Janet, you dedicated the episode to me while I was dealing with some health issues, and I actually listened to that while I was in the hospital recovering from another emergency surgery. It really helped because it reminded me I wasn't alone, and I think that's why we all love this podcast and keep coming back to it, because we hear these stories, we identify with them, and we always feel like we're not alone.
Kendra, by the way, guys, was of tremendous help to me when I did the Joco cruise, and it didn't really turn out like you can't really hear it because the mics didn't pick it up, but she was really doing a wonderful job of harmonizing with me when I was singing very impromptu the theme to the podcast. And speaking of the Joco cruise, I also wanted to give a shout out to Holly, who I met and spent some time with on that cruise. I cannot say enough good things about that cruise, by the way. Seriously. And I had never been on a cruise before. Now I know that I will only go on Joco cruises, but what a blast. And if you want to be a little more informed about who's on it, a bunch of people that I have podcast have done that cruise, and including it being run by not Jonathan Colton, who I have yet to podcast, but I'm very excited to do so, hopefully this summer, even though we live in very different places, but also Paul and Storm, who booked the cruise and administrate a lot of it. And I love their episode of this podcast. And check out their amazing rendition of Boys of Summer. I just wanted to include a little note from Holly. She mentioned that anything where I'm sort of talking about a mental illness, like with Maria Bamford or Christina Jasberg, have been important. And I did want to just mention that, you know, that's something that I kind of go back and forth about. It is super personal stuff. I remember one of my agents was saying he listened to my podcast and he was telling someone else about it in my company. And he was like, yeah, she really goes there. And I thought, yeah, I really do. It's a weird feeling, you know, it's a weird feeling, sharing that kind of stuff on some level, but I'm so much more happy that it's out there, just conversations like that with creative artistic people, because I just feel like that's a common thread, and I would rather people feel like they are not the only ones than to not feel that way, even if it means that people think I'm weird and crazy, which I'm not, maybe a little weird. Anyway, so she was, she mentions that she was volunteering for a church group teaching a bunch of middle schoolers, and the topic of depression came up organically. After thinking about how much hearing someone else talk about what they've been through helped me, I decided to sort of bare my soul to them. The next class, the main teacher told me it was that one of the kids grabbed him after class to talk about how he has been depressed and wanted to talk about it. It was weird how sad and happy I felt about that. You and your guests get credit for giving me the courage to talk about that and help that kid, and he was a really awesome kid too. The one that teachers would always rely on to help, yet was still super popular with all his classmates. And then just to pick the mood back up, and Holly, that meant so much to me, so thank you for sending that. She did mention, lest we forget, that you had a wonderful episode where you talked with an Australian accent for quite a bit in the beginning. And of course, feast the bread. Feast the bread, everybody, and please enjoy this next series of comments from Alex, Casey, Megan, and Kit.
Hey guys, I'm just kidding. Congratulations on the 200 episodes, Janet, for the JV Club. Suppose one of the most memorable moments for me was just the episode with Brian and Mike. Avatar, The Last Airbender, and of course Legend of Korra were huge influences for me growing up. And it was just great learning about their background and who they were as people. But like, the podcast really just humanized them, and it was great getting to know them. So thanks again, and congratulations.
This is Casey, and one of the most memorable episodes I can recall is the Lisa Kate David episode. I remember I was in my car driving through horrible traffic up to Sacramento, and as I was listening to this episode, I was in such shock and awe to her story as I was in this traffic. It's almost as if this traffic wasn't even there anymore. I was just so absorbed in this amazing woman and how she was able to become sort of an agent to try to get her husband put away, considering his pedophilic nature and all that going on. I was just so shocked and inspired, because not only did she have that going on later, you know, trying to overcome breast cancer, as well as still so motivated to find that one true love to be with. And it was just so inspiring. I couldn't believe it. And everything around me just didn't matter anymore, because after listening to this, I just became so inspired. And I think about that episode every once in a while, you know, when I'm down, and say, you know what, you know, if she can do it, I can get through anything as well. And that's definitely one of the most memorable episodes that I can recall.
I've been thinking about the Paget Brewster episode because it's autumn in New Zealand, and my wife hasn't stopped talking about leaf peeping. She even has a song.
I'm leaf peeping, I'm leaf peeping.
Hey guys. First of all, congratulations, JV, on 200 episodes. That's amazing. My favorite episode is the Annie Savage interview. I related to Annie talking about being anxious and having to deal with anxiety all the time. But my favorite story was about her husband being a quiet vomiter and how he threw up in a sick bag on a plane and she didn't even notice. I laughed so hard I cried. Great episode. Everybody should listen to that one.
Everybody knows that I always like a made up song. So, anytime you want to send me a made-up song, please feel free to do so, guys. I want to also just acknowledge another a fellow Annie Savage episode lover. This comes from Matt. He listed four of his faves with his reasons. He said, Alison Brie, the gymnastic story was amazing. I heartily concur. Annie Savage, no explanation needed. I love Annie Savage. Keegan Michael Key, that man can riff like no one else, and he's such a fantastic human being. I could not agree more. And Kelly Sue DeConnick, I'm convinced she is wisdom manifest physical. Certainly that is true. I mean, I don't know if there's a great way to say this that doesn't sound kind of weird, but if there was like a bathroom book of Kelly Sue DeConnick's Bon Mot, I would read that every chance I got. Okay, guys, now I'm going to acquaint you with some wonderful voice memos from Damon, Nick, Tiana, and Alec.
I recently went on a deep dive of the podcast. Something that struck home was when you were talking to Malin Ackerman and her having dyslexia and having to read with a ruler to keep the letters making sense. I never tried that technique. I grew up with undiagnosed dyslexia, but I also loved reading as a child and was told that I read so much that in essence I remapped my brain. The fun bit, of course, was dyscalculia. You mix numbers and letters and forget it. And who wants to do math all day for fun? It wasn't until college, when I was given an IQ test, that I learned I had an actual problem and was not just bad at algebra, or dumb. I still have trouble spelling, thank goodness for spell checker and calculators.
Hey, this is Nick, dedicated janitor. And if we are reminiscing about past JV Club episodes, we've gotta mention the Gray Delisle episode, or I suppose now Gray Griffin. Not only is it a great episode, but the impression Gray does of her grandmother is always hilarious, and in this episode, we actually get to hear Gray on the spot call her grandmother on the phone, and we get to hear her grandmother's actual voice, the voice she imitates so often. And I shit you not, during the call, Gray's grandmother actually tells Gray that her husband needs to get a job and support her. Oh, it's so amazing. Yeah, if you're talking great episodes, that episode is made of win. Keep up the great work, Janet.
My favorite episode was episode 22 with Kula Filaisak, where she told her story about her relationship with her parents and the childhood hardships she experienced. I was so moved by her story and really related to her struggles. I realized that, like Kula, I had the strength and perseverance to get through my own hardships and achieve so much in my life. This was such an inspiring story and is my favorite out of all 200 episodes.
Hi, this is Alec. Episode 22 with Kulop dropped at a time in my life when I really needed it. Her bit about hustle and drive reminded me of my grandmother, who was always striving towards something, whether it was working with kids at the children's library, getting her BA in her 50s, going to classes at the Y through into her 80s, or even making sure that there were enough chocolate chip cookies on hand. I didn't have any kind of horrible situation where I wasn't able to tell my grandmother that I loved her before she died, but actually sitting down and thinking about what it was that made her so special was something that I wish I could have done earlier. Listening to that last part of the episode, it crystallized that idea for me. You shouldn't be afraid of telling someone why they mean so much to you, or even feel afraid of admitting it to yourself. Thanks.
Oh, I love the emotional episodes. Okay, we are up for our last round of listener comments, and then we will get into the MASH game. And these are comments from Ryan and Liz and PJ, Elad, and Shmoo, and then we'll just get right into MASH. And thanks, guys. I hope you enjoyed hearing your thoughts and the thoughts of your fellow janitors. Happy 200th.
Okay, hope this works. So I started listening to the podcast very much by accident. I was a big Legend of Korra fan and happened to find that Janet Varney was doing a podcast, so I decided I'd start listening to it. And within like the very first episode, I started nodding my head like, yeah, I remember going through that. I remember that. So it just kind of kept going and going and going until the December podcast, when you guys started talking about Democrats and Republicans and the primaries were still very much, no one knew what was going to happen. And I think for the first time ever, actually wrote into a podcast to give my point of view on Republicans being one and kind of standing up for the moderate Republicans that I am, and kind of standing up for believing in liberal social issues but more conservative governmental issues and the different candidates that were out there. So, yeah, I mean, I came because of Korra, but I stayed because of Janet Varney.
Hey, guys. Or Janet. Mostly Janet. This is Liz from Virginia. And the moment that meant the most to me was from an early episode with Maria Bamford, episode 18. And Janet, you're talking about your depersonalization disorder and how your dad reacted and how you'd wake up in the middle of the night. And this is the part that always makes me cry. I mean, I'll cry just thinking about it. and how he'd say to you, "Isn't the human brain marvelous? And aren't you lucky to be so creative and so bright and so sensitive? This is the cloud. The rest of it's the silver lining." That was my cat, Rudy. And I just, what a loving way to respond to something that's so scary and so horrifying. And I'm pregnant right now, and I just hope that my child, when my child is struggling, that I'll be able to react in such a loving and supportive way, and in a way that makes them feel like, even though something bad is happening, that it's because of something else that's really good. So thank you so much, Janet, and thank you for the JV Club.
Hey, guys. You know you followed the JV Club for a long time when, while apartment hunting, Don Henley's Boys of Summer comes on the radio, and the first thing you think of is, as soon as I'm settled, I should totally invite Janet Varney over for some tea. Well, Janet, whenever you're in my neighborhood, which sort of looks like a Pink Floyd album cover, you're welcome for some tea. And maybe a MASH game. And yes, I'm the one who always corrects your French. Love, PJ.
Hey, Janet, and congratulations for 200 wonderful episodes. I just wanted to let you know, and I'm sure I speak for everyone when I say this, how much we, the fans and listeners, appreciate how personal and connected you are with your fans. As I'm sure you know, often when you listen to a podcast regularly, you start getting a feeling of familiarity with the host, and the way you keep yourself close and accessible to your fans really goes a long way to make it feel mutual. I also thought that for the 200th episode, it would be fun to turn the tables and have you play a round of MASH. So without further ado, if you could travel through time and space, to any place or any time you wished, what are three times and places, be it historical or future events, that you would like to be able to witness firsthand? You are, of course, protected from any harm and can take as active a part in those events as you wish. Thanks again for making one of the most unique, nostalgic, thought-provoking, and fun podcasts out there. Here's to at least 200 more, your fan and friend in Israel, Elad.
Hey, Janet. Congrats on 200 episodes. This is Shmoo. I first started listening at Paget Brewster's episode, and then I went back and listened to earlier episodes, and April Richardson's episode just made me feel so good about my own life because I live what I call a fan life. I'm 28 now, and I still love the things that I did in high school, and I go to shows alone, and it was just great to hear her talk about the same thing. With everyone I know getting married and having kids, she made me feel okay about the life I live, and not to mention that she's hilarious and is now one of my favorite people. And also, thank you for introducing me to the world of comedy that I was completely unaware of, and it's changed my life. It's made it so much better. So thank you.
Here I go. This is very exciting. This is listen, I don't want to say it's monumental because that is extraordinarily pompous for a podcast.
I'll take it.
But guys, this is April Richardson sitting across from me as she has once before. But what I realized as I was getting the 200th episode ready was that people do very often ask me to play a MASH game, and I have not heretofore done it on my podcast. I think I've done it on a couple of other podcasts, like they've asked me one or two MASH questions, but they're not necessarily podcasts that you guys would know. As I was thinking, I was like, God, who would I want to have do that with me? And I was like, oh, Ape, that's really a very simple answer. And then I started thinking, and I was like, hold up, I don't think that I was doing MASH when she did my podcast. She's one of the very, very, very first people. So
yeah, we
can
didn't
kill
get to
two
it.
Birds with one MASH stone here.
This is like slumber party style. I'm so excited for this.
So thank you so much for doing this with me.
Of course.
And I will say that you certainly, I constantly get little notes from people who are like, oh, one of the things I love about your podcast is that's where I was introduced to you, April, and that they love your podcast.
Thank
and
you.
They think you're amazing. And
I'm blushing.
There's one specific thing that I think we'll have either played right before this or I'll play right after, which is someone's voice recording. They specifically picked your episode and said that they are like, listen, I live a fan life. I love the stuff I love. I go see shows by myself. That's my thing. That's what I love doing. And knowing that April is living that kind of life too makes me feel like, oh yeah, I am cool. This is cool.
Oh my God. That's like the highest compliment anyone could pay me.
Yeah. So that just seems, this all feels like it's a total no brainer. And then to top everything off, I've taken some listener questions for MASH. So we're going to play an all listener generated MASH game.
Okay.
We'll both answer the questions. We can take turns reading the questions. I will tell you guys, I have in no way prepared answers for these. I barely looked at them at all. because I didn't want to front load any kind of like, oh, I have the benefit of having known. So I have these all planned. So my answers may totally suck. And certainly April doesn't know what these categories are.
Yeah, I've never seen them.
So we're going to get into it and we can kind of dive into the why of some of our answers too. So let's see. Do you want to start?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so this is, that'll be the first
question. Okay, Christian asks, 3 TV shows you get to live in.
Okay, this is a good one for you.
So we have to write them down on these things?
Yeah, so you're going to take mine and I'm going to take yours. But you're going to tell me what would yours be?
This is tough.
I know.
This is real tough. Okay, 3 TV shows I get to live in. Mr. Show.
Oh, great, great. God, way to pull out the big guns.
I feel like I should say Saved by the Bell, as
honorarily.
I mean, it's my favorite show of all time. Yeah. Whether or not I want to live in it is questionable. Uh-huh. I mean, I guess if I get to date Zach Morris, then yes.
Yeah, there you go.
And this is tough. Absolutely Fabulous.
Oh, these are great.
I definitely would want to hang out with those ladies.
These are great. God, what great answers. I'm screwed.
No, you're not.
All right, listen, I got to go 90s era Twin Peaks first season.
Yeah.
Not necessarily because if I like go back and watch the show now, I may be looking with a more critical eye. But like at that point in my life, it looks so good. Mm. Everyone's so attractive in a very old school movie star way. It was before HD, guys. Just have to say, as a person on camera, it's a big deal. Everyone
just trying to look like Audrey Horne.
Fuzzy. You do look like Audrey Horne. You absolutely do. And that would have been the certainly far and away my answer as a teenager too.
For sure.
Gotta go with Night Court.
Yes. Oh my god.
That's my Saved by the Bell.
I loved Night Court.
Gotta go with it. I wonder how fast I would sleep with Dan Fielding. I would be like have been on the show like 5 seconds. That third one's tricky because you kind of like roll through the first two because you think like, oh, that's cool, I have more. And then when you get to the third one, you're like, this is the last one. This is it. I hope I feel good about this. TV show. Fuck. There's so many good ones.
I know. I got to say my fourth was Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Sure. Sure it was.
I watched the shit out of that when I was little.
Okay, final one. Like part of me wants to say The West Wing, but then I don't know.
Have to wear a lot of navy blue.
Yeah,
suits.
I love all those characters, but I don't even living inside the wonderful political fake world of that still feels super stressful.
You'd have
to
do a lot of walking and
so
talking.
So stressful. So I'm going to go with. This is why this is so hard. This is so hard. I'm gonna go with Pride and Prejudice.
Whoa,
PBS
really?
PBS Pride and Prejudice. Yeah, with Colin Firth. It's not.
Oh, okay.
It's definitely a cliched answer. In terms of people who have answered that on the podcast, but that's what I got to go with. I got to go with my gut.
You're real highbrow. Mine.
No, I would say French. I think Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah, it's close.
You know what? Ultimately, Pride and Prejudice is just about like, oh, I'm in love with this person who's a jerk, and you know, there's a lot of like,
just saying that mean a lot of big
flirting.
Words.
Basically, what it comes down to is there's a lot of mean flirting, and that's what I'm into, and that is not highbrow.
Flirting is awesome.
Yeah. Okay. So, second question. This is also from Christian. Christian, in lieu of doing a voice memo for me, came up with several MASH questions. So,
okay.
The second one is. 3 life mysteries you discover. And he says it could be as small as discovering a cure to a disease, which, by the way, that's a huge deal.
Yeah, right?
That's not small.
That's not small at all.
To what's at the end of the universe. Or, like really small. Like, why did so-and-so cut their hair in the second season of such and such when they probably shouldn't have?
Are you talking about Felicity? Let's be real.
I mean, yeah, I am. It could be seriously, I don't want you to feel any social pressure to cure all diseases.
I'm going to tell you a real ass answer right now.
Please.
Number one, why do all these goddamn planes keep disappearing?
All right.
How is that
happening? All right.
I want to know about disappearing planes and how they have become commonplace in our society.
I love it.
And why all of us aren't talking about it nonstop.
Yeah.
Because it's insane.
I know. It seems
three of them.
So much that we know and keep track of to then still have like
an entire plane full of people.
That a plane full of people just, I think that's very,
blows my mind.
It's a big one. It's a
so
big one.
That one only because I can't believe everyone's not freaking out about it 24 hours a day. I mean, like, obviously, curing a cancer, like, I almost don't want to say curing cancer because that's like such a, that's like wishing for more wishes. Like, yeah. Everybody knows that's the answer. You know what I mean?
I do. I think it is. I agree with you that there are like answers that we skip past because they are so large and ubiquitous that let's pretend like we don't, maybe don't have the power.
Yeah. So everybody just know.
And also that's more of a, like that, I would say solving, I think having the answers to a mystery from life is different than actually being able to change something.
Yeah.
And maybe we want to take the power away. Christian, I hope you can handle this because I love this idea of three life mysteries that we discover could also just be, you know about the planes, but that doesn't mean that you can change the world because it's very dangerous to be able to change the world.
Right.
So maybe it's having the information whether or not you can
and
act on it.
And then just sitting on it.
Yeah.
And then also this is such a pedestrian answer or anyone would like knowing who shot JFK.
Yeah. Great. Let's get it out there.
I mean, everybody wants to know that, right?
I mean, yeah, I think so. Except for all the people who feel like they've already know.
Oh, that's true. That's true. There are a lot of people who do feel like they already know, but I want concrete proof.
I don't feel like that. I know.
And
I also haven't spent any real legit time trying to figure out who killed JFK.
I mean, if you consider watching lots of documentaries as time,
yeah.
I've done that.
Yeah.
But that's about it as far as my research. Uh-huh. just several documentaries. And then I don't know what the third thing is. Life mysteries. I mean, I feel like also you got to say something about like the after, like finding out if there's an afterlife or whatever.
Yeah.
But then that's sort of, I mean, the whole point of faith is that you don't know that. So I don't know. I guess alien stuff.
Great. Alien stuff. I love it.
Because I am not, I don't like the idea of aliens. I don't think they'd be chill. I do think they exist. I already think they exist anyway.
And you don't think they would be.
I don't think they'd be chill. I don't think they'd be trying to hang with us at all, really.
Okay. All right.
So I guess just, I want to find out where they are to avoid them.
Okay.
That's how I feel about
avoidance of aliens answer. I love it.
Okay.
Okay. I will do, I'm really remembering now that there are some like amazing highbrow answers out there from my podcast in the past. It was like amazing ones where someone was like, whatever happened to, and then they named some amazing female inventor I'd never heard of. And then I was like, oh no, not only do I not know what happened to them, I don't even know who you're talking about. And I felt like a real lame wad.
Well, I'm sitting here like, what's up with these planes?
I know.
So whatever.
I appreciate it. Mysteries. I would like to, I would like to know what Joseph Smith's motivation truly was in forming the Mormon Church.
Yes.
It's just had such a huge impact on my childhood and my family and stuff that it would just be, I don't know. He may have, there's so many great, lovely qualities to that church, that it's not as cut and dry for me.
Sure.
And so I'm very curious, like, did he believe that he had those visions? Did he know that he wasn't having those visions, but he really knew he had to say that to create this good thing he wanted to create?
Sure.
Or was he just totally full of shit?
And sure, sure, sure.
I answer that. So that's one. Next one is, listen, this is a very simple one, and maybe someone knows the answer to this. It's not something I've done a lot of research on, but it does feel like it's going into the category of, was I crazy when I thought I saw a thing, like a show that I've never since seen again, or other people don't seem to know what it is?
Right.
It was a Nickelodeon movie that was about, the aliens thing made me think of it. It was some of the actors who were on You Can't Do That on Television. But it was that one of them got abducted.
What?
And I remember it scared the shit out
of
me when I was little. And I think, I can't remember if it was Alistair or Kevin from You Can't Do That on Television. But I feel like the premise was they took him, but he woke up and he was inside his own bedroom. And it was one of those things where they made it look like his room so that he would feel okay. But
right.
Really it was
they
in this crazy spaceship.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And I just don't know if I dreamt that or if that's a real thing. And if so...
So Nickelodeon movie?
What was it called? Et cetera. Yeah. Nickelodeon alien movie as a companion piece to your let's find out where the aliens are and avoid them.
That you're blow. I used to watch. You can't do that on television all the time. So now I'm like, I also want to know what
I think
this
it was
is.
Either Alistair or Kevin or this. None of this happened, and I am crazy,
right?
And then the next one would be. Well, what? Okay, life mystery. How about? Yeah, let's go with New Mexico and like
the Area 57 stuff?
let's go with it because even if it's totally. Not aliens, what is it?
Thank you. Totally.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
So
that's with you.
We got to knock that out. I feel like between the two of us we've covered a lot of really good ground.
Yes.
Okay, what's the third question?
Okay, Christian also asks three mythical creatures you get to own as a pet.
Mm-hmm, I like this.
Ooh, I don't like this, Christian. I'm not into mythical shit.
Well, I'm not talking about it. Doesn't
like
have to
centaurs
be like,
or whatever.
It could be like Clifford, the big red dog. It
oh,
could be like
those
Goofy.
Are mythical dudes. So like, be, I could own Garfield.
Yeah. Exactly right.
Well, Garfield. Okay, great. He seems chill.
Great, great, great.
He's I'm not super into chill. Cats, but I'll hang with Garfield. He eats lasagna.
I'm sure he wouldn't characterize himself as a normal cat. That's great.
Okay. Well, then you know what? What were I? Okay. Then Snoopy.
Yeah.
Clearly, it's got to be Snoopy and Hello Kitty.
Hello Kitty, these are great.
I'll definitely have Hello Kitty as a pet.
These are great.
She's not. She doesn't
I know
have
they're
a
more
mouth.
Like pals. Let's just deal with the reality.
Yeah, I would
of
just
this.
Hang
so
out
anytime
with
you have a slightly more sentient animal. All right, I love everything you just said.
Okay.
I will go with. this is tough because I know it doesn't hold up, and I know I'm kind of creeped out by it. I kind of want to say Falcor, the Luck Dragon.
Oh, totally. See, that's what I thought.
But
was the question?
The thing that's hard is that I also feel like he's might be terrifying.
Sure, and he's like, enormous, right?
Friendly, scary, scaly
you're
dog
talking,
scales. From
you're talking
Never
about the
Neverending
Story.
Yeah,
isn't he enormous?
I think. Yeah, he's really big.
So would he just live
I think
in, like,
I gotta
your
back off that. Yeah, okay. I gotta back off it. It's too overwhelming.
It's not practical.
You know what?
It's not practical.
You and I love to hang out. Let me go ahead and pick Woodstock. So Snoopy and Woodstock get to hang out also.
Totally. So they'll be pals.
Yeah,
totally.
I'm going to go with, let's see, other myths.
You know what?
Mythical.
I might.
Then you need to do a swip swap.
I'm going to have to get Garfield out of here.
Uh-huh.
Bugs Bunny.
Okay, great.
Done. Bugs Bunny's hilarious.
Garfield was like, he like, so wouldn't be surprised. He'd be like,
figures. Yeah, and Bugs Bunny's going to be wisecracking and stuff.
Bugs B.
Yeah.
Great. I'm going to go with the shoe that does not get dipped from Who Framed Roger Rabbit, because that poor little shoe.
That is the best answer I've ever heard.
That shoe needs someone to love it and take care of it and curl up with it every night and press my cheek against its sad, teary
best
face.
Answer.
The shoe
that doesn't get dipped.
Yeah.
Best
and
answer.
Then this is like not a fair answer because again this kind of extends past thinking of someone as a pet, so it feels like not okay to say, so but I'm gonna say as my buddy who has a slightly more limited intellect as we understand it, I have been into Game of Thrones this last season. I kind of lost interest in it, and then suddenly this season seems really great. And so I'm going to say Hodor as a...
How you spell... I've never watched 1 second.
H-O-D-O-R.
Okay.
Because it's very fresh in my mind.
Okay. What is a Hodor? I've never
Hodor
watched it
is,
at all.
Hodor is your sort of quintessential... This kind of character exists in a lot of stuff. He exists as... The like big lovable giant in what is it, Ludo or something in Labyrinth,
oh.
Where he's like no friend.
Okay,
it's
right.
This
it's
sort
that
of character.
Of
it's the strong,
it's
slightly
the Iron
vocabulary.
Giant.
Yes, it's
yeah,
the Iron Giant.
Or Groot.
Exactly right. It's Groot.
Got you.
It's Groot. Oh
got
God.
You.
Oh God. Groot.
Oh, you want to change it?
Oh no, I gotta change Hodor to Groot, guys.
Okay.
All
right.
But I want baby Groot as he's still growing up and he's dancing in his little pot. I gotta go Groot. Hodor, right. I'm so sorry. But you know what? Hodor, yeah, again, it's not like Groot
Hodor
should be
will
a
get
pet
it.
Either. But
he'll understand.
Hodor's okay with it. Okay, next category is, now this is the final one from Christian. Christian, thank you so much for these amazing questions. Three podcasts you'd love to be a frequent guest or guest host of.
Number one, JV Club.
Yeah.
Duh. Number two, Never Not Funny.
Love it, love it, love it.
Number three.
The third is a challenge.
You guys know that every single friend of mine has a podcast.
I know. That's why I'll tell you right now, without like I may step out of the comedy just for that reason and just go into like weird science podcasts.
Yeah, but see, I only kind of, you know, I got to say Nerdist. I got to say Nerdist because Hardwick does me the solid of having me on whenever it's a guest I'm into. Like he had me on when Zach Morris was on and I was freaking out.
No brainer.
He had me on when Iggy Pop was on. Yeah, I got to hang out with Iggy Pop. That,
then that's like the best answer in the world. It makes
perfect
sense.
I'm going to Nerdist because I'm waiting for Tom Hanks to come back.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Fantastic answers. I will go with Stuff You Should Know. Because any opportunity to hang out with Chuck and Josh would be appreciated.
Got it.
I will go with... Yeah, this is hard. I'm thinking about the podcasts I listen to and like some of them would be really inappropriate for me to be on.
I was just because all my friends and I'm like, I want to hang out with my friends. So I know. I'll just say their podcast.
I got to go. I'll go Never Not Funny too. I can't.
Of course.
Not,
how can you not hang out with Jimmy Pardo every day? Not.
And then that's the only, that was the first comedy podcast that I even knew about. And it was the first one I was ever on. So that feels like the right answer, but
totally.
I don't want to make anyone mad by, and also I'm sure no one will listen to this who has podcasts or cares, but
they understand,
but I will go with, maybe something I haven't ever done, but would, I mean, you know what? I got to go with Radiolab. Those guys are so great and funny and inspiring. I think they're doing such great things to educate, not just people our age, but like kid-friendly kind of science stuff. So great.
Cool.
Great. Okay, next category is...
Oh, I see. Jen. All right, Jen asks three things...
And this has been used on the podcast before.
Oh, it has?
Some of these other ones have too, but I think this one originated with Jen.
Okay. It's three things you would redo either to get right or to experience for the first time again. Aw, Jen. All of these are going to be band related, probably. I can tell you the number. This is the most pathetic answer, and I'm going to tell you my number one answer.
Right.
I have few regrets in my life, truly. And I don't say that. That's like sounds like a weird brag. This is my number one regret. And you're going to go, what?
I already love it.
Okay. Before I went to college, I worked at this place called Mindspring in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
It was a USP or an ISP in Atlanta. And I couldn't get... Okay. I'm trying to condense this as much as possible. Okay, the Beautiful South, right?
Yeah.
One of my favorite bands in the world. And I was like following them on tour and I was going to go see, I'm like friends with them. I know Paul Heaton. I'm calling him. I'm like, hey, and this is again, I'm like 20 or 21 maybe. And I was going to go see them play in New York, but I couldn't get the weekend off. I had to work with this weird schedule that was like Thursday through Tuesday or something. It was weird. So I couldn't get that weekend off work. So they were like, it's cool. Paul's like, I'll put you on the guest list for like Chicago. Come to that show instead. And I'm like, fine. So turns out at that show in New York, not only did Morrissey go to the show, he hung out with them all night long. He stayed in their hotel. Like they hung out with Morrissey the entire day and night. Yeah. And Paul was like sending me pictures of them hanging out. And I'm like, I wish I would have quit my job. To this day, I'm like, why didn't I just quit my job?
Yeah, that's a great one.
So that's it's just a thing where it's like, I could have seen one of my favorite bands of all time while sitting next to Morrissey and hanging out with him and the Beautiful South. Because then when I went to see them in Chicago, only like a week later, they were like, girl, listen to what happened. And I was like, I hate all of you.
Yeah.
This is the worst thing I could possibly hear.
Yeah.
They had all these pictures of them hanging out with Morrissey all night.
Yeah.
So that's my number one life regret.
No,
listen, I've been divorced and everything. And I'm like, that's my life regret.
It's not like you would change that or make the marriage work. It's right. You learned from it. This is the one thing where it's like, how did it benefit you not to do that in a way that you can't foresee? It's a simple thing.
It doesn't quit that
job. It doesn't tempt fate. You could have just done it. I think that's a perfect use of this category because it doesn't risk anything large. The idea of like not getting married or getting married, getting divorced, all of that has such a huge impact on who you are now. And this feels like,
and I wouldn't change that.
Safer, it's exactly.
I'd still get married and still get divorced.
I think that's a great use of this category, and I encourage you to come up with two equally as good ones. But I don't know how you're going to.
I think about that once a week. I think about that once a week about like how I didn't quit that damn job. I don't even three things I would redo. Oh, but also again, that you could experience
it again for the first
time. Totally.
Oh, I wish I could see that afresh. Like that feeling of I wish I have that with like books and movies, I think sometimes where I'm like, oh, I wish I could see that again for the first time.
I always, speaking of bands, I always, when I'm watching bands play or I'm listening to a new record, I'm like, I feel so bad for the band because they can't listen to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I really, I'm like, oh, you guys can't watch yourselves be awesome.
Yeah. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. That bums me out. Okay. Three things I would redo. This is good. I'm trying to not take a long time thinking
That's
of this.
All right. It's a big question.
Two more, because for me, it really, I don't have regrets. So it really would be things I just want to experience again.
Yeah.
I think I would. Oh my God, Morrissey's going to be all these answers.
It's great.
No
one needs it to be anything other.
Well, I do. This is so hard, you guys. I want to experience everything again all the time.
Yeah.
So it's so hard to pick one thing, like traveling and everything. You know, I guess probably, can you experience like entire years again?
Yeah, why not?
Because after I graduated high, the time I lived in England after high school, I would relive that in a heartbeat 500 times over.
Great.
It was just like, you know, a couple of years where I had zero responsibility. I just was hanging out with my friends in England, going to see shows, didn't have to pay rent. I mean, it was the best time of my entire life without question. So that time. And then I honestly think I would relive the night that I got to do, when it was still called Comedy Death Ray, at UCB Theater.
Mm-hmm.
It was like when I was only a year or two into comedy and I got to do it. I would, that to me was like playing a stadium. I mean, it was the most, you know, because that's all my heroes. I mean,
absolutely.
The fact that Scott and BJ were like, we co-sign on you enough to have you on our show. I was like, oh, I'm the funniest person of all time. I've made it now at UCB where it seems like 100 people or even if that. So I would relive
first
the
comedy
night.
Death Ray. That's great.
The first night I did Comedy Death Ray for sure.
Great, great, great. Fantastic.
Fourth. Going to see The Cure with you the other
night. There it is.
Yeah.
We had a good time. We had a good time. Okay. My first one is the getting to relive the first time experience of going to Sleep No More, which, again, if you told me I would say that, you would hate that so much. If I told you I would say that before I had ever been to Sleep No More, I would have been like, you're out of your mind. That sounds like a thing I will never go to nor like. And
I wish I had the balls.
I think you'd be miserable.
I would have constant
nightmares. Hate it. It's like your worst nightmare.
I wish it wasn't.
Short of being Civil War ghosts.
Right, right.
But all the furniture is like Civil War, like scary furniture.
Oh my God.
Okay. I wish I could. I think the first day I went into San Francisco when I was 13, that was like a really magical day, up to and including wearing the false eyelashes from Clockwork Orange
on
Hay Street.
Yes.
And going to see the church at the Warfield that night. That was like a very accessible,
the church, like under the Milky Way,
defining moment. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was a very defining moment of like, I want to live here. This feels, this is like where I'm supposed to be. And so it was nice to have that kind of that just like feeling of locking into something where I was like, oh, I belong here. That was a really exciting, just like very
and knowing
visceral,
like I'm going to live here someday.
Yeah.
I love it.
And it really stuck in my brain. And also I would be really fun to laugh at myself for wearing that Clockwork Orange eyelash. And
I would wear that like tomorrow.
Yeah,
by the way.
I know. Oh no, listen, I was like, I guess I should maybe I need to revisit that in Halloween costume form. And then, maybe that first San Diego Comic-Con that we went to for Korra, where it was like 5,000 people in one room and people like waiting on the outside and getting a chance to sort of realize what a huge thing the show was and being able to hear Mike and Brian really talk with the fans about that. It was just great. It was one of those experiences that I sort of was like so overwhelmed by just the sheer, like the noise and the, it was just cool. It was cool. It was the feeling that what it reminded me of more than anything is like 80s music videos where, it's like, you know, there's like a spate of like, I'm sure this is still done, but it's very like Depeche Mode 101, like videos where you follow the band all the way
like
onto the stage.
Crowd. Yes, yes.
And I was like, that's a feeling I will never know or experience or understand on any kind of real level. And then that one time was like the closest I'll probably ever come to that, but it was definitely an overwhelming feeling.
Right.
And I was totally riding on the coattails of this amazing thing that these guys had created. They weren't there for me, but it was just to be a part of it in some way and see how much people love and cherish that show already in the first series. Was totally magical.
That's awesome.
Great question. Okay.
Yes.
Elad, three, this time travel question, three okay. times and places that you would visit at no risk to your safety, and you can stay as long or as little as you like. You're a fly on the wall, or maybe yeah. you are, maybe you're interacting with, but you're definitely safe.
Well, okay, again, I cannot have more predictable answers. Uh-huh. Only because I just saw New Order again and finished Bernard Sumner's autobiography, and it would have to be Manchester, England in like the late 70s, early 80s. Right. I would go to Manchester to go to that Sex Pistols show at the Free Trade Hall, the one where like all those dudes were, and the next day they started bands. Because at that show, Bernard Sumner was there, the guys from the Buzzcocks, Morrissey was there. It was like the next day Joy Division was started, and the Smiths Amazing. Were started, and whatever. So it's like,
that's insane.
All those dudes were friends. Yeah. All those dudes went to school Talk together, and they knew each other.
Fantastic.
That is totally where I would go first stop. I mean, I guess the right answer is kill Hitler.
Yeah.
But that's a distant second to going to hang out in Manchester in the early 80s, late 70s.
I love it. Are you really going to put kill Hitler in as your second one?
I mean, can we have that as the cancer thing, but where it's like, of course all of us would kill Hitler.
And also, I don't think that this is like you can impact something historically.
Oh, it's you're more just like chilling.
You get to be, to see it and witness it and be a part of it, but we're not changing the fabric of time.
Okay. Well, all my, again, so I'm going to do those.
Great.
Then I'm going to go to Athens, Georgia.
Great.
In the late 70s, early 80s, so I can hang out with REM and B-52s that they're forming.
Great.
And Pylon and Love Track. I'm going to hang out in that scene.
Great.
Just going to be a guy about Beautiful. Town in that scene.
Uh-huh. Love it.
And then, these are all, I feel so lowbrow. You're giving high. I'm like, oh, I would go look at these bands. And then I think, probably I would go to Memphis in 1954 and see Elvis at like a county fair. I would want to be like on the ground floor for Elvis Presley for sure.
I think that's fantastic. It's making me think about answers that I would not necessarily have gone to before, and they're kind of just popping into my head, and I guarantee you they're not particularly meaningful because I too, like many guests before me, have major misgivings about times and places where people of color were more mistreated than they are
God,
now.
Oh, God, of
Women
course.
Were more mistreated than of they are course. Now. Of course. I think I'm so hypersensitive that I would have a hard time looking past that.
Right.
And I think I'm too fragile to be a strong, amazing person who could witness something like that.
Right.
I think it would just shatter me for till the end of time.
Did you watch the LBJ movie?
I haven't watched it yet. Did you like it?
It's great. Another reason I want to find out who he... I think LBJ and FDR are two best presidents. And speaking of Joseph Smith, LBJ was kind of the same way, where he had to do some bad shit in order to get the good shit done.
Yeah.
Like, obviously no president's perfect or whatever. But I was watching it because I've read several books about him. And one thing about the movies, it was a little... The books I've read, he was like way tighter with Martin Luther King. Like, they were cool. Mm-hmm. And in the movie, they're kind of at odds a little more. But I was thinking of... Yeah, if you were alive in that time and being somebody who would we be marching? I'd like to think I'd be marching with black
people. I'd like
people.
To think so,
You know
too.
What I mean? But like the pressures of society and how people would, your family might turn on you or whatever.
Yeah.
And if you'd be, I'd like to think I'd go, no, fuck you guys.
Yeah.
I'm on the right side of this. I'd like to think that, you know, but I was watching that going, would I be that person?
Yeah, I hear you. Well, listen, let's go ahead and put me at the, I have a dream speech.
Okay.
Even though I just said I couldn't handle any of that because that was a high moment in, oh my God, things feel possible, and
right.
there's a voice for this that feels like, you know,
totally
incredibly powerful. Having said that, I also want to go to the making of Sense and Sensibility, Emma
yes.
Thompson's film,
yes,
and hang out with her so that there is I know this is, I'm not supposed to change history, but
you're
I would like if there was just a quick mention of me in her.
You guys become best friends.
Yeah. I mean, just
of course.
Listen, she just drops it in. Her journal from that time that was published doesn't have to have anything in it except real quick. Like when she's like, oh, on the day where I just couldn't seem to get enough food for some reason, I was inexplicably starving all day. And Janet was there to eat all the food with me. That's all I care about.
Hey, I'm trying to be friends with all those dudes.
Yeah,
I get it fully.
Let's get that in there. And then I do wish I could, I would like to go to San Francisco in the early 40s to see my grandmother meet my grandfather.
Oh, yeah.
That I think would be kind of amazing. That would be really, really, really great. Great category. A lot. Thank you.
Yeah, that was good.
Let's go to our second to last one.
Okay, from Nick. This is coming from
this
Nick.
This is good. This is conceptual, but I glanced at it and I thought, I think you'll be able to come up with something good for this.
Wow. All right. Yeah, let me see. This is
it's
called...
It's high concept.
the yes, they finally get it question. And it is explained like this. You have the ability to make the world finally get it and appreciate three things that are your unsung heroes. Any album that you listened to and thought, why isn't this everyone's favorite album? Ever go to bat for a movie that no one will give the time of day? How about that podcast recommendation that you know the world would like if they just gave it a listen? Well, you pick three things and people will give it a shot and appreciate it like you do. It's a, here's a parenthetical. My favorite band as a teenager never got airplay, and I had all of their albums go out of print. I just couldn't figure out why music that good, that perfect for people my age was left untouched. Oh, this is, again,
I mean, great.
What? I could give you 7,000 answers.
I knew this would
this
be a
question.
Good category for you. I'm happy.
First of all, I'm wearing her shirt, and I would say it's a woman named Christine Young. Everybody listen up. It's K-R-I-S-T-E-E-N Young. I met her because she opened for Morrissey for like 10 years straight. She's unbelievable. Like unbelievable, like modern day Susie Sue plus Kate Bush. And I can't say enough good things about her. And she's definitely a person where I'm like, I am angry that you're not world famous.
Yeah, yeah.
Her voice is unbelievable. She plays the piano like she's murdering it.
Yeah.
And every time I bring a friend to see her, a totally uninitiated friend who's like never heard of her, I'm like, just come see this lady. They leave going like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I brought Karen with her a couple weeks ago to see her a couple weeks ago. And she was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
My ex-boyfriend Aaron is like, I'm dumping you for her. Uh-huh. She's incredible. Like, she's incredible. So definitely Christine.
Young. Love it.
These are going to be recent things because the movie I'm going to take you tomorrow night to see called Sing Street.
Great.
Everyone, Sing Street. These are all just on the tip of my tongue. I'm giving recent answers, but is my new favorite movie. I saw it for the first time a month ago, and it's now my favorite movie of all time.
Love it.
It's perfectly done. Anybody who's ever been into music or needed it to like find your identity or escape a difficult home life or whatever, see this movie immediately. And then, I don't know. And I guess this is another recent-ish. They're broken up now, but a band called the Lucksmiths mm-hmm. from Australia, L-U-C-K. Lucksmiths, mm-hmm. one word. My best friend from high school was the music director at our college radio station, and those guys were touring, and we had to drive them around. Had to, I say. It wasn't a chore. They were delightful. But we had to drive them around, and we became best friends with them. There's three Australian dudes. They're amazing, and their music is incredible. And if you're into anything like Belle and Sebastian or the House Martins or Billy Bragg or anything like that, like you would love the Lucksmiths. And they're another band where I'm like, why doesn't everyone know who these people are?
Yeah.
So
those are great.
Yeah,
those are great. Now, here's where this gets tricky for me, and it is to my shame. This is to my shame, and I don't like admitting this, but uh-oh. I feel like I have on the podcast before. Especially growing up, I was very precious. I was one of those precious people about what I loved.
Sure, of course.
So I liked liking things that no one else knew about.
Every teenager
and
does,
and that sort of sticks with me in the sense that there are certain things that when I think like, oh, what if the world knew who they were and I couldn't just go see them in a small venue,
right.
Oh, this hike that if I started talking about it, everyone would go on it because it's great or whatever. So I do have that gross, I don't know if it's an only child thing or what it is, but I have that gross kind of like keep it close to the chest on
me
some
too.
Stuff.
Because we're both only children. Because these people were our friends.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah. They got us through.
I mean, when I was listening to The Cure in my bedroom, I'm like, Robert Smith's my friend.
Yeah.
You don't get to know who he is.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it.
I'm glad
sure.
that you understand that. Yeah. So that said, that's tough because there's stuff that like I'm trying to think if I've had, like, if anything popped into my head where I thought, I know, but then it's not mine
anymore.
I mean,
you want to keep it a secret.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, that said, I feel like I can be generous enough with a book I've talked about on the podcast before. It's a children's book by an author named Jane Langton. It's called The Diamond in the Window. I wish this book was as well known, at least as A Wrinkle in Time, which people do seem to know about, which is great.
Oh, yeah. I had to read A Wrinkle in Time for school.
Oh, man. Yeah. So I wish that, I wish The Diamond in the Window were like that. I think it's one of the best, it's like with A Wrinkle in Time, it's my favorite young person's book, and I've talked about it before, but it is a book in which two rambunctious freckled redhead brother and sister team try to solve a mystery of their missing aunt and uncle and get taught about what transcendentalism is.
Whoa,
in the process.
That's a kid's book?
Yep.
Damn.
And they do it through a series of dreams that they have and this like magical beds. So it's just an amazing, amazing book. And I feel like A Wrinkle in Time, it's very much like those are my Bibles, where sure. I feel like all that I really need to know about humanity and what we're capable of and being a good person are just tucked inside those magical books. So we'll definitely say A Diamond in the Window or The Diamond in the Window. Next one is... this is a double header. I'm just going to say it. I think it's a risky thing to say because I feel this way about a lot of people, but from fandom to friendship, I still don't really know. And it also feels like a mixed compliment. Like you say this and then it's like, it's somehow insulting. Cause I hate when people say, why aren't you in more? You're so great. Like, right, why don't more people know who you are? And you're like, oh, thanks. Yeah. That makes me feel really bad.
Yeah.
Now that said, I don't know why Jimmy Pardo and Paul F. Tompkins aren't the most famous comedians in the history of comedy.
Co-signed so okay. hard on
so
this.
So let's just get them down.
Funniest living people.
I mean, it just is yes. like, I just don't.
So there, that's going to be one answer.
Yeah. So that's, they are the two most successful beloved comedians in the history of comedy.
Totally. Totally agree with you.
And then the last one, people finally get it. Guys, you get it. I'm going to say, I mean, I don't know if it's a get it or not get it, but I will just say the androgyny of fashion and style.
Yeah.
I just feel like everyone should be on board for that.
Also love it.
Friends. Yeah. And I'm not saying like, oh my God, this is this thing that no one gets. For sure, I know plenty of people do, but I wish everyone was just more nebulous about that on any given day.
Like, I agree.
Fully. Some days you look like this, some days you look like this, and everyone just dug it. And that includes, by the way, guys wearing skirts. I'm okay with it.
I'm into guys in eyeliner too. Wake up,
dude. Oh, I love a guy in eyeliner.
The best.
Oh, straight or gay.
Yes.
Fantastic look.
Fully agree.
Love it, love it, love it. Great, great, great. Okay, so that just leaves us with our final MASH category, and this is just the basic traditional MASH question, but it is MASH, so I wanted to make sure we got it in there, which is somebody that you can... Three. Now, it could be a real celebrity. It could be a character that a celebrity has played, so you just want Ryan Gosling from The Notebook,
right?
Or it could be, you know, this like this character from a book. Three people, and it could be like this person I just want to bone,
right?
This person I would be like my alternate universe companion or whatever.
This is gonna get weird because you're like, no people. I was gonna say, I mean, clearly, I'm gonna say like John Hamm, and you're like, yo, I know, I mean, yeah. I kind of know him too. Maybe I shouldn't say that.
You can,
and this is all in all of time and space,
yes. Yes, yes. So it could be a young version of someone too, or
1968 Elvis Presley.
68 Elvis, great. Great.
Modern Love video, David Bowie.
Amazing. I love the specificity of this so much.
Who's number three? Should it be a real person? It shouldn't be a real person.
It's up to you.
I feel like it shouldn't be a real person. John Hamm.
Great.
Of course.
I think it's
let's put that out there. Let's secret that and put it out there for it to maybe happen.
Listen, it's great.
All right.
Okay. My first one will be, because you and I have had this conversation before, I'm not saying like to make anyone comfortable that all of a sudden you and I start sleeping together.
Sure.
But I do feel that in an alternate universe, us just being like wives who spend our lives together would be super fun.
Oh, okay. Well, cross out John Hamm, put you...
I don't want you to feel pressured.
No, it's not pressure.
All right, listen. That increases our chances of getting it because now it's in reverse order. So you might get me and I might get you, but we will not both get each other. So that's good. You know what I'm saying? It like increases the odds because mine is the third and mine is the first. Yours is the third, mine is first.
Right. Anyway,
that's just a math thing. That's just a math MASH thing. Okay, great. Next one is... Oh, man, this is trickers.
I know. There's lots of famous people I want to bone. It's hard to narrow it down to three.
I will say... I'm trying to think of like someone that I... Oh, I will go with Dangerous Liaisons, John Malkovich.
Ooh, okay.
I just remember watching that like on videotape over and over, I think when I was in junior high or something, and just being like, why do I love this bad man so much?
Of course.
And then, you know what? I will see your modern love, David Bowie, and I will say, sweet dreams are made of this, Annie Lennox.
Yes!
Because that was just
she
like,
was so hot.
I don't know who this person from this other planet is, yes. But I can't take my eyes off her.
I agree. Speaking of Andrade, I miss that like really severe look that women had in the 80s.
Yeah.
Like her or like Grace Jones, like Bridget Nielsen.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That super so angular, severe shoulder pad
very
look.
Powerful.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah. I am sort of hoping the big shoulder pads come back.
Yeah. Let's bring them back.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll start with you and then okay. I'll do it and then we can do the factoring in together.
Okay.
Tell me when to stop.
Okay. Stop.
All right.
Now you tell me when to stop.
All right.
And we're just drawing a circle, right?
You can do whatever you want. You can figure out whatever means you want to count. Okay, you could do hash marks. Stop. You could do stop. Okay. We're going to pause this. We're going to do some calculating. We'll come back. We'll give each other our 100% guaranteed 200th episode JV Club MASH Futures.
Yes.
Okay. Are you ready?
Ready.
Ready for this action?
Yes.
I'm feeling pretty good about it. Okay. I'm just going to make a story that kind of threads together this stuff.
Okay.
And by that, I mean, it won't be a story, but I'll just like try to figure out how to present this to you.
Okay.
Number one, I love that you have an apartment inside the world of Absolutely Fabulous.
Yes.
I think that's going to be super, super fun.
Fantastic.
And it's something that you can come and tell me about on the JV Club.
Yes.
Which, by the way, we're already making yes! come true.
Yes.
I want to congratulate you on making your friend Christine Young wildly fabulously famous.
If only everyone make that true. Yeah. Go buy her albums.
I want to congratulate you on getting to redo, get a do-over, and actually be at that concert.
Oh my God.
And hang out with the beautiful South and Morrissey.
You're literally making dreams come true. This is amazing. This is legally binding.
This is definitely legally binding. And that just leaves us with your time travel and your companion, both of which happen to be Elvis Presley.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Your sweet little Elvis Presley.
Everything about this is
Memphis
great.
Memphis Elvis, 68 Elvis.
I love it.
All yours. All
okay.
the time.
All right.
Congrats.
This couldn't get any better. Well, I want to say congratulations to you because you get to be married to April Richardson.
Hey!
And we live in a house together.
No wonder yep. we spend all this time together on the podcast.
We totally live in a house together inside of Twin Peaks.
Oh, shit. That is rad.
So we look
Some
really
crazy
cool.
crazy shit's going to happen to us, too.
Totally. We look really cool.
Amazing.
You have also figured out the origins of Mormonism, so you are able to tell everybody.
That scratches a serious itch.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
You know Joseph Smith's whole motivation.
Oh, that's great. Great, great, great.
We do have the Roger Rabbit shoe as a pet.
Oh, the shoe! Our tiny child! Our tiny child!
The undid shoe!
We push around in a little bassinet. We push it around in a pram.
Have you seen Dippy? This is an undid
God.
Shoe.
Oh, that's really good news.
What is the thing? Oh, the recommendation. The podcast that you're on all the time is Never Not Funny.
Great.
Which is a thing Great. That's also easy
enough.
To come true.
Can't happen enough.
You get to redo and refeel the first Comic-Con
oh,
as much
nice.
As you like.
Nice. I want to take you in the shoe.
Yes.
That's
oh,
great.
Thank you.
That's great.
The entire world, it's required reading in schools around the world is Diamond
yeah!
in the Window.
Oh, the world's going to be a better place for it.
And you get to see the I Have a Dream speech. Front
oh,
row seats to
damn.
I Have a Dream.
Boy, there's some major stuff in there.
Man, our lives
That's
are going to be great.
Extremely satisfying.
Our lives will be fantastic.
Oh, my God. Wow. This is really great.
This is the best.
Thank you so much for celebrating my 200th
God.
Episode. That was I was thinking this is going to be like a particularly short episode, and when it all comes down to it, it's going to be like normal length. And I'm going to release a Boys of Summer episode the same week, so this is going to be insane. Abe, thank you so.
This
much.
This is the greatest. I had so much fun. Til Congratulations
thank
on
you.
200.
Thanks.
I love you dearly. You're amazing.
Oh,
this is so much fun. I can't believe I played MASH
I
for
know.
The first time
I'm
since
really
like eighth
glad
grade.
I'm glad that we righted that wrong.
Totally.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for all your well wishes, and take care. As always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.